So last week, we looked at the first couple of verses of John, and we looked into eternity and saw that Jesus is the very Word of God. We saw that He is fully, absolutely, eternally God. We saw that He is fully, absolutely distinct from God, and we also saw that He's Creator of all things. Creator of all things. So, very simply, all we learned last week is that Jesus is God and He's our Creator. It's very simple. So we're going to continue by looking at the introduction together, and we're starting at verse 4. And this is God's word to us. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. This is God's word. Let's just pray before we come to look at it together. Father God, we thank you that you are light, and in you there is no darkness. And we thank you that your word is all truth and it speaks about you. And we just pray, Lord, very simply, that you would help us understand your word this morning. Help us to apply it and help us to understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if you have seen the film Star Wars or if we have any fans here. I'm sure we do amongst some of the men, maybe some of the women as well. But for those of you who don't know anything about the film, it's an action-packed series, there's six of them. And in this film, there's a real battle between light and dark. There's a real battle between good and evil. And one of the great things in this film is the imagery that George Lucas, who is the director, uses. So, for example, on the side of the Force, on the side of people like Yoda, they represent everything that's good about the world, everything that's good in the universe. And on the other side, we have people who are on the dark side, and that represents everything that is evil in the world. And the hero of the film, as you watch, is a guy called Luke Skywalker, and he represents, again, everything that's good. He's the hero, and he wears white, everything that's good. And then on the dark side, we have Darth Vader, representing everything that is bad and evil about the world. So imagery is used here very clearly to give us some context about the characters, which side they are on, and who they are. So every time you see Luke Skywalker, you can see, yeah, he's good. He's in white, he's light, he's good. And then every time you see Darth Vader, you can tell in the film very clearly, he's dark, he's bad. He's on the dark side. Well, in the Bible, and particularly in John's Gospel, imagery is used to describe spiritual truths about Jesus. So in this gospel, as we go through, we'll see that Jesus uses images about himself to describe spiritual truths. Star Wars is fake, by the way. Let me just make that clear. Any Jedi's out there, that's completely fake. Jesus is real, and he has real images that he uses to describe himself. So later on, he'll call himself the bread of life. An image from everyday life to explain who he is. He'll call himself the gate. He'll call himself the vine. He'll call himself the good shepherd. And these images are there to communicate to us a spiritual truth. And in this passage, one of the big truths and big images that John uses is light shining in the darkness. And this is what we see in this passage. Look at verse 5. Very clearly, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So what John is doing here is we looked last week is that we looked at the pre-incarnate Christ. We looked at Jesus before he came to earth. And now we're looking and John moves into what Jesus coming to earth and what that signifies. And he calls it light shining in the darkness. And this image is there to help us understand who Jesus is and what he has come to do in the earth. It helps us understand who Jesus is and what he has come to do on earth. And what I wanted to do is just spend this morning focusing on that image, the light shining in the darkness, and thinking about what it means. I'm going to suggest it means two things this morning. Firstly, it means that Jesus is the light exposing the darkness. We'll take some time to think about that. And then secondly, Jesus is the light showing us the way to life. So firstly, Jesus, the light exposes the darkness, it reveals the darkness. And secondly, Jesus is the light that shows us the way to life. So firstly, the light exposes the darkness. Look at verse 5 again. It says, the light shines in the darkness. And the whole of John's gospel is set against this truth. The world is a dark place. This doesn't mean that the world is a dark place physically, like all the lights are off. But he's talking about spiritual things. He's talking about the fact that the world is a dark place spiritually. And John uses the image of darkness to describe evil and sin that Jesus encounters throughout the gospel. So in John 3:19, Jesus says this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And notice, it doesn't say that the world is a good place. It doesn't describe the world as a place of light. It doesn't describe the world as a neutral place. But he describes the world as a dark place. And this is what Jesus comes into. As he comes into the world, he is surrounded by the darkness and rebellion and sin and evil of men and women's hearts as he spends time on earth. He is light coming into a dark world. We see this darkness in our world today as well. Nothing's changed. Our world is full of evil, full of destruction, full of wars, fighting and problems. You just have to turn the news on, don't you? We switch on the news and we hear about Lance Armstrong this week, revealing that he's a liar and a cheat. We switch on the news and we hear about a girl raped by a gang of men in India and left for dead. We switch on the news and we hear about the wars in the Middle East, another one. We look at our communities and we see our communities around us destroyed, messed up and all over the place. And even if we look at our own lives, if we truthfully look at our own lives, we can see that we have problems. You might come to church and think everyone's okay, that everyone's good. But even the people that look like they've got their lives together the most have problems, have darkness, have sin. But Jesus comes into the darkness, Jesus comes into this evil world, and he shines a great light. That's what he calls himself. In John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. And this light is the opposite of all the darkness that we see. Jesus is perfect. Jesus is good in every way. He does not lie to us. He doesn't gossip behind people's backs. He doesn't take performance-enhancing drugs to help him cycle better. He speaks the truth all the time. He treats people with dignity and love and respect. He comes in purity. He comes in perfection. And he comes in righteousness. He is the light in whom there is no darkness. And this should be great news as Jesus comes into the dark world. People should say, here is the light that has come out into the world to sort out the darkness. People should say, here is the light that has come to sort out my darkness. In my world. That is not the reaction that Jesus receives at all. Look down at verses 10 and 11. John writes, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Instead of people accepting the light of life, they reject him. Even though Jesus made the world, even though Jesus came into the world to save it, people did not recognize him or receive him. And it wasn't just they didn't receive him. They were actively hostile against him. They outright rejected his teachings. A number of times, and we'll see this throughout John's Gospel, people try to kill him. And eventually they get their wish. As towards the end of John's Gospel, they nail him to the cross. We will see this again and again in the book of John. A real battle between light, the light of Jesus on the one hand, and the darkness and evil of the world. The darkness is hostile to Jesus and an enemy of the light. So why are people so hostile to him? Why do people reject him so outright? Well, the main reason people rejected Jesus is because he exposed people's evil hearts and intentions. His purity and his truth showed up people's sin, and people did not like that. It says this in John 3:20 in the following verse. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. The Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the time, didn't like that they were wrong. The Jewish people of the time didn't like being challenged. They hated having their deeds exposed, and so they rejected him. And the first 12 chapters that we see in John is a summary, is summed up by verse 11. His own did not receive him. They rejected him again and again and again. They rejected the light of the world. And this is important to remember, because people didn't like Jesus back then, and people do not like Jesus now. The reason being, because he reveals us deep down for who we really are. Not that fake one that we show people where we act like everything's together in our lives, that nothing's wrong. But Jesus reveals who we are deep down in our hearts. I mean, no one likes to have their sins exposed, do they? No one likes to be wrong. We like to keep our secret sins, our secret problems to ourselves. I mean, look at Lance Armstrong, again, the guy who was on Oprah Winfrey. Everyone know about him? He was on Oprah Winfrey this week. He denied and he denied and he denied that he had taken performance-enhancing drugs, even though the evidence stacked against him. It wasn't until he was backed into a corner that he revealed the truth that he was a liar and a cheat. Why did he hide it? Because he wanted to hide the truth of who he was and is. And the problem is, we have a world, even if we look at our own lives, of little Lance Armstrongs. We are all liars and cheats. We are all sinners in rebellion against God. It was the same back then when Jesus was here, and it's the same today. We can't handle the truth that we are sinners. When we meet Jesus Christ, he exposes us. He shows us who we really are as he shines his light in the darkness. And this gospel, the great irony of this gospel is that the medicine that can cure the human race is rejected. The great irony of this gospel is that the medicine that can cure the human race, the thing that can cure the human race, is rejected. The way to salvation and life is ridiculed, he's mocked, he's despised, he's beaten, and then he's hung on a cross. The light comes into the world, exposes the darkness, and the darkness rejects him and kills him. But let me be clear, it's not like Star Wars, where good and evil are equal. The light can never overcome the darkness. Look at verse 5. It says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And this can be translated, understood it, or it can be translated, but the darkness has not overcome it. If you've got one of the blue Bibles, you take your finger and you see the little A next to understood. And you go down to the bottom and you'll see a 5A there. It says the darkness has not overcome it. It can be translated, the darkness has not overcome the light. Even though they kill him, even though they nail him to a cross, he raises to new life on the third day, defeating and triumphing over the rulers and the powers and the authorities of this evil world. The light shines in the darkness, and nothing, not even the darkness, can snuff it out. So firstly, he's that light that exposes the darkness. Secondly, Jesus is the light who shows us the way to life. And again, this is what light does. If you think about it, light guides us, light leads us, light shows us the way. Without light, we cannot see the way forward because darkness would blind us, and it blinds us. I remember being in Peru about 8 years ago, and I was doing the Inca Trail, which is through the Andes Mountains. And at night, because there was no houses, there was no street lamps, there was no electricity, in the middle of the darkness, it was pitch black at night. We literally couldn't see anything in front of us. We didn't have a fire or a torch, I probably would have fallen off the mountain. We were in complete darkness. You can't see anything in front of you. And this is a picture in the Bible of the human condition. We are in the dark, unable to see in front of us. Jesus says this in John 12:35. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Man who's in the dark is lost. That's a picture of us. Before Christ, we are blind spiritually and we cannot see our way to God. However, Jesus comes into the darkness as the great light and shows us the way to God. He says this about himself in John 8:21. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus says that whoever follows him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, Jesus points us to the place where life is found. The darkness, the sin, clouds our judgment. We cannot see the light. We cannot see the way forward, but Jesus shows us the way. He shows us the way to life. And where does Jesus guide us to? Where does Jesus point us to? Jesus is the light pointing to himself. He is the place where life is found. He says, life is found in me and me alone. And this is an amazing and staggering claim if we take time to think about it. Every other religious figure in the world points away from themselves. Muhammad, who's the head of Islam, one of the head prophets of Islam, points to the five pillars of Islam. He says, that's the way to live and get life. The Buddha points to the four pillars of Buddhism. He says, that's the way to life. But Jesus says, in him, and him alone is the source of life. Verse 4, in him was life. And that life was the light of men. So the question is, how can we receive that life if we are in the dark? How can we get that light? Well, John gives us the answer in verses 12 and 13. He says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Jesus says that we can gain life by faith and trust and receiving Christ as our Savior. John says that when we do that, we become children of God and we are born again. This doesn't mean that we're born again physically, we come out of the womb again. But people who put their trust in Christ are given new spiritual life. And the reason being, because they're reconnected with their Creator. They're reconnected with the light. They're reconnected with the life of God. And this reconnection with God is powerful. It changes us. It transforms us. As one man wrote, being a Christian is nothing less than the life of God in the soul of man. Nothing less than the life of God in the soul of man. In other words, God is involved with our souls again when we put our faith in Christ. He gives us new life. This is important for us to remember as Christians today. There are lots of people in the world who want to make our place a nicer place. Politicians, police, well-meaning charity workers, they want to make the place a nicer place. And it's good they're doing that. But God doesn't want to make our place a nicer place. God wants our world to be reborn and given new life. This is the reality of the gospel. We don't need self-help books. We need the gospel. We need Jesus. We don't need willpower to help us out. We need outside help from God and the source of Jesus Christ. Because He alone can change our minds, can change our hearts, can change our souls and give us that new life. But without this life, we are dead spiritually. Without this life of Christ, we're not really living. We're in the darkness. And I wonder, for those of you who are not Christians this morning, whether you've been feeling recently like life is not really like it's meant to be. Like you're feeling like life, like something is missing from life. Well, the Bible is clear and it backs that up. It says you are missing something. You're missing God in you. You're missing the life of Christ. You're sitting in darkness and the sin of your lives. There was a lady called Rose Crawford who, after 50 years of blindness, had an operation that allowed her to see. After the operation, she wept because for the first time she could see the colours in the world, the beauty of creation. The amazing thing about Rose's story was that 20 years of her blindness was unnecessary because she didn't know that surgical techniques had been developed, that an operation could have restored her vision 20 years ago at the age of 50, or at the age of 30. The doctor said he just figured there was nothing that could be done for her condition. Much of her life could have been different. She was sitting in darkness and she could have had light. And the thing is, a lot of us are like Rose. We live in darkness when we can live in the light of Christ. The light of Jesus is there to show us the way. The light of Jesus is there pointing us towards God. And He says that if you repent of your sins, if you put your faith in Christ and trust in Him, you can have new life and be utterly transformed inside out. He is the light of men. He is the life of men. Why is this possible? Why is this all possible? Why is it possible that as Christians we have new life? Why is it possible that those of us who are in darkness can have this life and light? Because on the darkest day of history, Jesus died on the cross, taking on all the darkness, all the sin, all our rebellion on Himself, so that those who trust in Him can have the light of life. On the darkest day of history, Jesus brought life for those who trust in Him. And He is there, pointing us throughout this gospel, and throughout the Bible to Himself, saying, I am the light, I am here, come to me, step out of darkness. So Jesus is this light, this great picture of light shining in the darkness. He's shining the darkness as he exposes the evil of our hearts and is rejected. And he's shining in the darkness as he shows us the way to God and brings life to those who put their trust in him. Amen.